Hello, everybody. God bless you. This is Pastor Jay. Thanks for joining me here at Liberty and Faith Podcast. And we ask you to keep us in your prayers as we're walking with the Lord over here. I hope you all have had a great holiday season and a good Christmas. I hope you kept Christmas. If we're going to be remembering it, the birth of Christ, then, it's very important that we keep it centered upon Him and not all these earthly things and fleshly things that's going on. We need to be representing Jesus Christ in every single thing that we do in our life. That being said, the world is in a very tumultuous way right now. It's a very precarious place. We need to really be focused in. I hope that you all are maintaining a state of readiness, spiritual readiness, where you're focused on Christ and that you're centered in on Him and that you're really diving into the Spirit and allowing God to help you and to guide you and to lead you and to inundate you with His presence and with His Word. I hope that you're diving into the Word and getting the Word deeply within your heart and letting God unveil things to you. Let me tell you, He will unveil things to you. He will show you great and mighty things that you know not. If we can just shed all these layers that's within us and keep ourselves clean, and following Him and dive into His presence, God will begin to show you and unveil to you things that just can't enter into the fleshly mind of man. And so we enjoy that place with the Lord. I enjoy being close with God. So please, as we approach this new year, 2023 was a very spiritually rough year. Lots going on in our country. There, I think everybody senses that there's a struggle between good and evil going on right now. And you're smack dab in the middle of it, folks. You are right in the middle of it. You're a player in all these things that's going on. Don't you forget that. We are all players in what happens. Either we will follow Christ or we will follow this satanic way that's being pressed upon us, even in this great country of the United States of America. You're going to have to stay strong, especially in the days in the future. I feel very much in my spirit that God is revealing to me 2024 is going to be a very tumultuous year. It's going to be I'm talking spiritually speaking here. It's going to be rough. The scripture tells us, and you guys know me, I'm a very much a reality preacher. I've said it many, many times. I like to preach warm and fuzzy sermons. I like them better than anybody when God gives them to me. I only preach what the Lord gives me. But listen, let's just be real. We all know that the scripture says that this ain't going to get any better. It doesn't mean we have to live the life of a Debbie Downer. It doesn't mean we have to have a bad attitude. But we have to be realists and understanding, yes, a merry heart does good like a medicine. And we know God's going to take care of things. And we can have joy in our heart as we walk through this world. But you have to be prepared for what lies ahead. The spiritual battles that we will probably have to endure one day. Now, I hope and pray that you're ready. Not only ready for that kind of thing, but ready to leave this world when God descends from heaven with the voice of the archangel. And He shouts and He calls us home. The rapture of the church, as it has been labeled. I hope you are ready. This is real. This is reality. I know a lot of people think that's the figment of a lot of people's imagination, but it is not. That is real. Just as sure as Jesus Christ showed up on the scene some 2,000 years ago, people prayed for Him to come. They wanted the Messiah to come, and when He arrived, they was not ready for it. And you would think all the years that they had been given the law and all the years that God had been preparing them, all the years the prophets had been prophesying of it, and still yet they were not ready. Let's not be that way. Man, live in a state of readiness. I feel very excited to be a Christian in these days in which we live. I'm excited about it because I do believe that we are going to see Jesus Christ very soon. I do believe that the Antichrist is upon this earth. I do believe he is ready to step in and bring peace into the Middle East, which will be a false peace. There'll be a 7 years of great tribulation. Well, 3.5 years. There'll be 3.5 years of peace and then 3.5 years of great tribulation like the world has never seen before. And we're going to be gone from here, and you have to be ready, because if what is going on in Israel right now is the Ezekiel war that he talks about in 38 and 39, listen, the rapture is at hand. And I do believe the world is in a place. Look at the chaos. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure this out, folks. I mean, don't you agree with me that look at the world and how wicked it has become, spiritually wicked. We have a lot of great minds in this country who have many degrees and are very intelligent people, and it seems like those people that are leading our children and our school systems, our colleges, are the most evil, spiritually minded people who are inundating our children with things that God calls an abomination. When a person can't tell a male from a female, or won't admit that a man can't be pregnant, and then, I mean, the most basic of things has been veiled from the brightest minds out there. And you look at this and you go, oh my gosh, how can this be happening? If you're spiritually clean and have been awakened by God and you have vision and you have been born again, you don't have the veil on you that Satan is putting on the world. I mean, Satan is putting on this veil on people who have not been saved, and they cannot see the truth. They call good evil and evil good, and they don't understand what truth is, and they think that they can change the standard. You can't change the standard. It exists. But that's where we're at in these days. And let's just face it. You know, we know the end of the book. The Bible tells us that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's not a bad attitude. That is not, being negative. That is being real. If you believe in the Bible, then you have to believe what I'm saying, because it's absolute scripture. I'm gonna tell you, there's lots of people that needs prayers out there. I can't remember all of them. I mentioned this a little while ago, but a little child, little girl's got cancer, 2 years old, that my daughter knows. Please remember them in prayer, the whole family and the child, 2 years old and just riddled with cancer. We've had several people that has got family members that's passed away, young people that's passed away. I can't remember all of them, but the Lord knows what is going on within our Christian communities at the Index Church and the churches around the area. People really need to get serious about God. Understand that the Lord's church does not have any walls. Man makes walls. Man makes denominations. God makes Christians. And that's what we are. And we have to separate we need to break down the walls of division and come together as people of God and lift one another up and help one another. That's what God meant the church to be. That's the strength of the church, is operating in the Spirit and loving each other, lifting one another up in Jesus' name, and allowing Jesus to run the church, not men. So that's what we need to be doing. So many other prayer requests. We had baptized a little boy named Zeke just not long ago over at the Index Church. Pray for him. God keeps building him up as a man of God. We had another child get saved in Foxport not long ago where we were preaching and singing. God bless that child. Pray for him that he grows and in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Led a neighbor, Jim, to the Lord. Pray for him that he grows in his Christianity. Now, there's just so many things going on. I can't think of all of them, but the Lord knows. And before we get started, we're going to have prayer here, as we're going to be reading out of the book of Revelations for just a little bit. And I'll try not to take too much of your time, but we're going to walk with the Lord here. And I know that there are so many prayer requests out there. And I want you to really dive into this with me, and I want you to be real with God for a little bit here. I want you to be real with yourself. The Bible says, let a man examine himself and see if he is of the faith. That almost insinuates that we can self-deceive ourselves, you know, that we can live in self-deception, that we can be trained in the church to be churchy but not be saved. So when the Bible says, let a man examine himself, look deeply in your heart, see where you're at with God, make appropriate improvements with the Lord. Let him, allow him to bless your heart, to come in and to look deeply within you. Unveil yourself to God. Let God see the most darkest corridors. Give it to the Lord. Ask God to clean you spiritually up inside. Pray that you are, you know, that he saves you and cleanses you if you're not. And be honest. Listen, it's critical that we be honest with ourselves and with God. Be honest. It's all you got to do. And we're going to pray here before we get going. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to give us wisdom as we walk through the word together. Those that's listening to this podcast, God, I pray for their salvation. More than anything, God, more than the physical needs of a person, we have a spiritual, Lord, day that we're going to meet with you. We have an appointment to stand before you and to be examined spiritually, which is a forever thing, God. The physical man is important too, but it's only here for a little while. But Lord, the most important thing is the spiritual side of a man. And I pray for every person listening to this, God, that you would bless them, heal them, help them, encourage them in these last days, that even as times get extremely bad, Lord, people will understand how much they need you. To maintain a positive attitude is a great thing, Lord, but Lord, let our joy be within us because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. May we have spiritual joy and not just fleshly happiness, God, that lasts for a season and then fades away. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I pray for everyone that they're strong in Christ. I pray for every need that we mentioned. Lord, everything in everybody's life that's listening to this podcast, I agree with them in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would help them, save them, lift them up, help them in their families and in their struggles. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to get into the book of Revelations with you here just for a little bit. Revelation 17, 1 through 8. And this is what it says. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, let me stop right there. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now we're going to be told here, you know, this whore that sits upon these many waters. We're also going to be told there are the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now we call them the seven hills of Rome, where the Vatican sits. It describes this place to a T. And this is what it says right here. You know, when we're looking at 17:1. And we're talking about this, the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Let me tell you what this is. Let me explain to you the meaning of this. The great whore. What is this great whore? It's opposite of a chaste virgin. Okay. We are the bride of Christ, and we're supposed to be clean and in waiting for our Lord. He said, this goes back to the marriage, the traditional Jewish marriage. So you have to understand, again, we get into these things where you have to understand the culture of the Lord's day. You can't understand this if you're trying to look at this with the eyes of the culture of today. Okay, so the bride of Christ, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. That's part of the marriage ceremony. The man pays the price, the dowry for the bride, in which Jesus gave himself for us all, and God accepted the sacrifice, and Jesus went away. And when the man would go and build a home ready for his family, he would come and collect his wife, and there he would consummate the marriage, and they would be together in that home. And that's what Jesus tells us, that we're to be We're betrothed to him. We have to stay clean. We have to stay ready. We have to stay pure and holy, and not, we can't be entangled in affairs. We can't cheat on him. We can't break these covenant vows that we have made with him. So we have to stay clean, chaste, and ready, and be holy. Holy betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is a whore? A whore is just it's opposite of that. So here we have a woman. Both are, you know, the bride of Christ, and you have this whore. The bride of Christ is clean and holy and ready and pure, and you have this whore who has prostituted the truth. She's a prostitute. Okay, so she looks like a woman, she seems like a bride, but she has a prostituted truth. Okay, this whore that sitteth upon many waters, she's has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. We're told this in the scripture. So she looks like the bride, but she has prostituted the truth. And there are lots of religions out there that prostitute the truth. They talk about Jesus. They even pray to Jesus, but they leave out critical doctrines such as being born again. And I could name many of them that do that. It's all about religious ceremonialism, where you slide beads across a string and you say Hail Marys, and that means absolutely nothing. You must be born again. Jesus told us that. Not through religion, but through the Holy Spirit. You can't have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. You have to be pure. But this prostituted gospel, this prostituted truth, is what John is talking about here. And listen at this. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Here's that word fornication again. Again, we are talking about spiritual things. Again, we are betrothed. We can't commit adultery or fornication, you know, outside this, you know, the bride is betrothed, which so it would be fornication. She's not married exactly yet. So he's telling us that the kings of the earth is taking in this form of religion that leaves out the truth. It has a prostituted truth. And that's what we're seeing here today. The world has a very messed up vision of what God is. There are so many things going on. People who have took the gospel. China is writing a new Bible. People are trying to turn the gospel into things that trying to twist it to fit their evil lifestyles. And instead of letting the gospel bend and break them, they're trying to change the standards. And this is the committing of the fornication. Spiritual fornication, this is what this is talking about. People who won't accept the truth, they turn from the truth, turn from things that's obvious truth, and they go another direction. And it says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So you understand where John's coming from. The whole world seems to be in a state of where it's inebriated. It can't know what it's doing. You all have seen drunk people before. They stammer and stumble around and don't know what they're saying, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're lost in this mind-altering state. This is exactly what's happening in our world today, okay? And so the Bible says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns. We're going to be told what this means here in just a minute. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Here we go. This is this woman trying to look like the bride of Christ, okay? Which is, Jesus was arraigned. This is giving, it alludes to the fact of royalty, okay? And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Look at what we're doing today, folks. Look at what the world's engaging in. People doing the absurd. men dressing like women, going into schoolhouses and dancing in front of kindergartners, and people being okay with that. Folks, we are messed up. I mean, look at the parades now in the street as Satan has, this is demonic, as people are being massively possessed to do things that are absurdly evil and absurdly, even against nature, people are doing it. Oh, it's unbelievable. And yet the church stands silent. And people live in this false reality that everything's going to be okay, that nothing's really too badly wrong. No. Look at what's happening around us and let it alert your spirit to be ready. Be ready. Listen to this. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You know, a lot of people thinks that's the United States of America. Because we are leading the world right now into this. I'm just going to be frank with you. Can I just be honest with you? And let's just be honest together. Don't you think that the United States of America right now is being evangelistic for the devil right now? We are leading the world into these pagan things. I mean, we have got transgender people in leadership roles, and we are bringing, you know, America used to be the leader of the free world. Now we're trying to lead people into this evil. And we're trying to indoctrinate the world with this. Children being raped on Epstein's island, and many dignitaries and our leaders of our country being on that list, which will not be provided, which will not be shown, men hiding this, and people's okay with that. It is incredibly bad. I'm talking about leaders of all the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Drunken with the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And I saw her drunken with the blood of the saints and blood of the martyrs. It was her role in destroying Christianity. You know, back in Jesus' day, you know, the Catholic Church has destroyed more Christians, millions of Christians, throughout the ages. So much so, I forget which pope that it was, just came out and apologized for that, not about 10, 15, 20 years ago, because of all the destruction to the Protestant movement. Now, I'm not trying to preach against one denomination. I'm just telling you the truth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Listen to this. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Listen at that. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So here we have a woman, a prostitute, who was riding on the back of the devil. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the world, who has this veil, as I was talking to you, over their eyes, is going to see this thing, and it's going to wonder after it. It's going to be attracted to it. And this is what the scripture says. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, now called the seven hills of Rome. That's what John was speaking of. So what am I trying to say? You have to be ready and be able to identify truth. biblical truth, not according to your denomination, not according. Listen, we have to all come out of this kind of thing and look and see what is absolute biblical truth. There are good people in all the denominations that really love the Lord, but we have got to be available to the truth when God starts to show it to us. You know, as we read through script these revelations, you know, I want to tell you that the book of Revelations was penned by John and was written for us to read it and to understand it. It is God giving Christians a look into the future to be able to understand what's going to happen to mankind. This look into the future, it's for your benefit. It's for you and me to be able to identify the times, you know, in which we live, to prepare for what is to be seen, to prepare for what the world will be made to endure, and for us to preach this revelation so that people will see and turn to Jesus. Understand this too about the revelation. An unveiling is what revelation means. An unveiling, a surprising and previously unknown fact is what the definition is. The divine and supernatural disclosure to human beings of something relating to human existence. That's what revelations means, okay? This religious system in 17:1 and 2, this evil woman, she's a symbol, as I said, of a prostituted truth, a religious system of Babylon. You can look at the waters many times. Waters represents multitudes of people, nations, and languages. So in other words, they had become a part of a religious system which was symbolized by this evil woman, by this religious system of Babylon. People were attracted to it. They loved it. It's a feels good, do it kind of a system, religious system. It has no barriers to it. It has no walls to it. It has no law to it. It is attractive to the flesh of a man. Man, everybody wants a religion where they can go out and live like a demon and say that they're going to heaven, right? Where there requires no change and you can just go out and do whatever you want to do and you're good. Folks, that is evil to the core. You know, it is something we have to be able to recognize. She held this golden cup, you know, filled with abominations and adulteries. This confirms previous indications that her character and life are symbolic of a false religion. Okay, and it's confirmed even on her forehead, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. So, I mean, it's confirmed even on her, right? So, Babylon, there's a lot of information in the Bible about Babylon. Babylon is the source of all false religions. Even in the Bible, the first recording of it is the building of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 10 and 11. The name Babel suggests confusion, and we know in Genesis 11:9, that's where it says that at, and we know that God is not the author of confusion. Later, it was applied to the city of Babylon, which itself had a long history dating back as early as 3,000 years before Jesus was even here. Babylon was important politically, but also religiously. Nimrod founded Babylon in Genesis chapter 10, 8 through 12. He had a wife who was known as Semiramis, who founded the secret religious rites of the Babylonian mysteries. This gets into a lot of deep things, and I could go into this, even what's in the churches today, in holiday things and how we do things. Trust me, it's a huge deal. I don't want to confuse anybody, but we can get into that at a later time. But Semiramis had a son with an alleged miraculous conception. Does this sound familiar? Who was given the name of Tammuz, and in effect was a false fulfillment of the promise of the seed of the woman given to Eve in Genesis 3:15. There were a lot of religious practices that observed this in connection with this false Babylonian religion, including the recognition of the mother and child as God, and of creating an order of virgins who became religious prostitutes. Tammuz, according to the tradition, was killed by a wild animal and then restored to life. A satanic anticipation and counterfeit of Christ's resurrection is what that was. Scripture condemns this false religion over and over again. Jeremiah 7:18, 44:17. Through 19, verse 25, Ezekiel 8:14, the worship of Baal is related to the worship of Tammuz. So you can see how this kind of stuff started to fall down to us. This woman, she's a picture of the evil power that will envelop the world. It's going to look attractive and glorious on the outside. Wealthy, prosperous, beautiful, and luxurious. But the inside will be nothing but rebellion against God, folks. That's all it's going to be. And it's going to lead people to the total spiritual impurity. This is Satan's great deception, to draw people to live for the external and ignore the internal. We see churches doing this all the time. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups that do this are full of this. The angel took John into the desert in 17:3 to see the prostitute in her reality. And, you know, we have to step back from the involvements of our daily lives and see evil and how it's and how it leads us into sin around us. I hope that you stay ready. And I could go a lot further into this, but I'm going to stop right here. And we're going to have prayer. And I'm going to ask you to keep your hands in Jesus' hands. And if you're not saved, please ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, as I give this brief teaching here, Lord, out of the book of Revelations, according to your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, I pray for every person listening to this that they would be ready, God. We sense this in our heart that you're coming soon. Oh God, how terrible it will be to be left behind, Lord, when you have come to make all things right and begin, Lord, the cleansing of this world. Bless those that's listened, God. Heal those that need healing. Lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen.